Maybe you've been asking the question about how do I know the Holy Spirit's voice? How do I know it's Him? You know, it says in the scriptures that Jesus says, my sheep will know my voice. They'll hear my voice, they'll know it. And they won't listen to someone who's not me. And maybe somebody's been asking that question, how do I know? Here's a good way to begin to know the voice of the Spirit of God. When you're tempted, ask God for the way out. And then listen. Because the Holy Spirit will show you a way out. If you'll do that consistently, every time you're tempted, ask God, what is the way out of this temptation? The way out, God will give you. Listen to that voice. That's God's Spirit speaking to you. Get to know it. Get familiar with it. And you'll start to realize that God's actually been speaking to you a lot in your life. We have just not been paying attention, or we're not clear on His voice. We doubt it. We get fuzzy on it. We don't know God's Word good enough to discern it right away. Many different reasons, but somebody in here needed to hear that. So, all right. Let's see here. Get my notes. So has this year been a really good year for everybody? Yes. If you say yes, I might talk to you later and wonder. No. It's been a hard year for everybody. Yep. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. But I want to focus this on God has been with us, maybe more so in this year, on a very practical level than maybe we've realized. And there's a purpose in everything God takes us through. I want to read a scripture here. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and it starts in verse 2. It says, praised be God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, compassionate Father. He's describing Himself. Compassionate Father. God of all encouragement. I think we all could use some of that right now. Compassion for our hearts through a hard season. Encouragement. We can all use encouragement. That's our God. And He's also the God of all comfort. Who in here could use some comfort? If we're really honest. Everybody does. We all need it. Okay, so it's not that it's not available. It is available because God is these things, and he this is some of the names He's given to Himself that He is on our behalf. Okay? And it says that He encourages us in all of our trials so that we can encourage others in whatever trials they may be undergoing. I want to make a little statement. This is something when I was in a program out in New York, it was said all the time. It was a whole bunch of people who had drug addictions. It was probably their last stop before they were going to die or go to prison. And the director out there would say all the time, he says, it's all about you because it has nothing to do with you. And I see that right here in this verse. God wants to comfort us. So in one sense, it's all about us being comforted by the Lord because it has nothing to do with us, because He wants us to take the very thing He did in us and go to other people, and with what God poured into us, pour it out on others to go be a blessing. We have a world that is seriously hurting right now, and they have no answers, none. Us sitting in here, we're hurting, but we have one who can comfort us. They don't. God wants to comfort you, it's all about you, in one sense, to receive from the Lord. Let Him minister to you. Put yourself in a position to let Him minister to your heart. Because He wants to comfort you because, guess what? The fields are ready for harvest. Big time. And if you have not let the Lord pour into you, you have nothing to go give them. How are you going to go offer to the world anything different when most of us sitting in here are in the exact same boat they're in? We might have a hope, but have you experienced God's ministry in your heart to carry out to them faith, hope, and love, to pour into them what they need to walk with them and comfort them. We don't. According to the scripture, we don't have it unless we've received it. And you can't give away what you don't have. So I'm going to read the verse again in its entirety real quick. Praised be to God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, compassionate Father, God of all encouragement and comfort, who encourages us in all our trials so that we can encourage others in whatever trials they may be going through, with the same encouragement that we ourselves have received from God. So, we are going to address a few things today. Some of them are going to be encouragements for you guys to let the Lord minister to the places that need to be ministered to in your lives. And you can begin real simply with 2020. I guarantee you've had losses. There's been hardships that are not normal in life. You also have the normal things that we go through in life. Family members can die. People get sick. We're still going through our own sicknesses, issues that are in life. These are things that if we don't address them, our soul shrivels up. They could become blocks and walls between connecting with people and ultimately connecting with the Lord. God is right here. But if we don't let stuff come out and express our disappointment with the Lord. David expresses disappointment with God all the time. Read some of the Psalms. He puts things on God that we in our heads would never dare say, because how could I say that about God? He wouldn't do that. It's not about that. That's true. God wouldn't do those things. But the truth is our experience and what has affected us in our hearts, we feel like God's done this. And you know what? And the reality is God has allowed something to happen in your life. He didn't stop it. That hurts. We can become stuck in doubt. We can even fall away from the faith because of these things. And it happens when we choose not to address them. We live in a culture that's really good at pushing down our pain. Don't acknowledge it. Just push it down until life gets back up and going and just move on. I had an experience this week where I was terrified. It was a traumatic moment. It turned out perfectly fine. Kyle could tell you about it. Everything turned out fine. But I'll tell you what, I walked away from that, and even though everything was okay, my heart had been pierced because there was a moment there where it wasn't going to be okay. And the trauma of that 10 minutes impacted me, even though right after that, everything was fine. And the Lord, I want you to understand this, that even though you might go through something painful and it turns for joy, God turns it for good, we still need to grieve and address the hard parts of that because it's hard. Life is hard. So, and you can start with simple of 2020. Great place to start. You can just look at the little things that have happened this year. And maybe I'll get into that in a little bit more. But I also want to bring into that, this year is not really what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to really tell you about how God works in our lives. There's seasons in our life. We go through hardships and struggles. And there's some that just seem to take you out. Even though you seem to be okay on one sense, but inside, something's died. It's called the desert. God takes his people, especially those who he is planning on equipping to do his work, he takes them into the desert. Jesus is a perfect example. Jesus is baptized. The Holy Spirit comes down and rests upon him. The Father says, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Well, I don't know if it's a day, a week, I don't know how much longer after that, but shortly after that it says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was baptized by the Spirit and it stayed on him. Guess what the Spirit did? It drove him out into the desert. Why? Why would God's Spirit drive Jesus out into the desert? And what happened in the desert? He was hungry, he was thirsty, and he was assaulted by the devil, hammered by the devil, to the point that after 40 days of resisting the devil, he needed to be ministered to by angels. I don't think we understand what happened in that desert. 40 days, though, and it was rough for him because he needed ministry from the Lord, from the Father. We need ministry from the Father. Jesus needed it. We need it. I want you to understand that. So, Jesus, when he left the desert, it said something different. He wasn't just baptized by the Holy Spirit. It says he came out of the desert in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, he didn't come out of the desert to go back to a comfortable lifestyle. God brought him out to accomplish a mission. If God's had you in the desert, don't plan on coming out of the desert and going back to being comfortable. No, God is setting you up to do something for him. Do not plan on resting. It's time to be serious about preparing yourself for what he has. Get ready for action. Joseph was given a vision of everybody else bowing down to him. Okay, when he was young, his brothers weren't so happy about that vision. So they sold him into slavery. They wanted to kill him. They didn't. They sold him into slavery. I'm sure at this point he's probably wondering, God, you said all this was going to happen in my dreams, and now I'm a slave, away from my family. Well, then, you know, he starts to build up. Well, then he's thrown in prison for something he didn't do. And I'm sure that all those dreams that God had given him, remember, God gave them to him, those dreams, they died. I bet he gave up on them. They died. It was painful. But at the right time, God led Joseph out of the desert. He came out. And what did he do? He was put in charge, second in power, really the second most powerful man in the whole world at that time, to care for everybody in the whole world. He was going to feed everybody during a famine. He had purpose. He had to get busy. There was not sitting around time when he got out of prison. It was, I got out of prison and holy cow, responsibility laid on his shoulders, but God had prepared him. The season you've been through, that desert season, is preparing you. God's not mad at you. Actually, he's probably so delighted in you that he chose to take you through it. He doesn't, and I bet he weeps as he led you out there because he knew the suffering you were going to go through there. He went through it himself. He knows, and he's with you. I want to read something that the Lord laid on my heart kind of towards the end of probably about a six-year period of being in the desert. And this is what he said here was, this is just what I had sensed the Lord speaking to me on a personal level. So if this applies to you and encourages you, that's wonderful. This is not God's word. This is just something that encouraged me. It says, I titled this, When the Spirit Leads You into the Desert. It says, the desert starves the soul by removing worldly pleasures. The desert forces the flesh, your fleshly selfishness, it forces it out into the open. It also forces all your wounds and the enemy out into the open. There's nowhere to hide in the desert. Everything's made clear. It's right there. You have to deal with it. You might not have seen it before. Now you see it. It says, the only hope that we have in the desert is for God to come through for us. Nobody else can get you out. And you know it. You come to a place of knowing that no one else can get you out of this. It's where you get to know yourself and God. All those truths you heard in your head for so many years that were up there, memorized verses, this is where they become a living experience in your heart, because it's all you got to hold on to. It says, there may be other people with you in the desert, but they're really of no help to you. Only Jesus. It's where you learn the one thing. What is the one thing? That he's all you need. And he'll bring you back to community, because he says you need that too, but ultimately, he's the only thing you need. And he'll strip you of all the other stuff. This year, 2020, has been a great time of God stripping away the things that we think we need. Not a bad thing, but it's really hard, being honest. It says that, you know, you can be assured of this, though, when you're in the desert, that he's coming to get you. Just as you didn't walk into the desert in your own strength, God plunged you into that without you asking for it. Although I bet you actually did ask for it, you just didn't know. You were asking, Lord, use me. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to share the gospel. I want to serve you, Lord. You probably prayed that prayer, and guess what he did? He led you out into the desert. You didn't know you asked for that, but you did. And he didn't tell you ahead of time. But in a minute, I'll tell you something he does do ahead of time. It says, just as you didn't walk into the desert, you don't walk out. Just as it was his purpose to lead you in, he will lead you out. And when you return from the desert, you're not the same. His power now goes before you to accomplish his desires, not yours. And it is all to the praise of his glorious name, not our own kingdom. Okay? Some examples. Moses, 40 years in the desert, he took matters into his own hand. He was going to deliver his people. It didn't go well for him. He ran off into the desert to escape. He was going to be killed. 40 years in the desert, God appears to him and leads him out of the desert. Now, he didn't want to leave the desert because he knew what he was going to have to do. You go talk to Pharaoh. He didn't want to do that. That's a big mission. Go tell Pharaoh to let all my people go. Imagine that. You go tell the guy in China, whoever runs that country, you're going to let all the whatever. You know, it's like you got to get a picture of this. We don't understand what he was asked to do. Okay? So he comes out of the desert, and God works through him to overcome Egypt, and he sets God's people free. Then the Israelites, they went into the desert. They spent 40 years there. Poor Moses had to hang out for another 40 years there, bearing with the other people. That's another message. God might call you to go back into the desert with a bunch of other people. Not fun. But he wants you sometimes. He'll call us to a ministry of walking with others through their hardships. And it'll be hard on you too, because guess what? You're right back in the desert with them. It says the Israelites, though, they come out of the desert and they take the promised land. They had to go and fight. They didn't even know what fighting was. They had to go and fight. Joseph, he comes out of his desert and is made second most powerful man in the world at the time. John the Baptist spent his entire life in the desert, and he came out in the power of the Spirit to turn God's people back to him, preparing the way for Jesus. Jesus was driven into the desert, and when he came out, he turned the world upside down. So, if you've been in the desert, praise God. He delights in you. He has a plan, and there's a purpose in it. Some of the things God does when you're in the desert, and this is just from my story, I've always struggled with the fear of man. I have prayed and I've tried so hard to not fear man because I know God says don't fear man. It'll prove to be a snare, and oh, how it is. Such a snare. Well, I'll tell you what. Going through a desert season, in that time, God had called me. God had put a vision and a dream in my heart for ministry. I love ministering to people. It's something that I didn't have, but when I became a Christian, I did. And it was all I ever wanted to do then, all of a sudden. And the Lord opened that door for that to happen. And then he slammed that door shut. And it wasn't one of those things like, hey, this is done and you're going to do this. It wasn't one of those nice conversations like we're just going to do something else. No, it was one of those moments where you are made a spectacle in front of people. Shamed, humiliated, crushed to where it's like I couldn't show up to work hardly because my heart was so overwhelmed and I couldn't keep doing it. It's like everything, that passion just died and dried up. And I quit because I couldn't do it anymore. And I wrestled with that for years. God, why did you take me out of ministry? Did I fail you? What did I do wrong? Why did this happen? Are you mad at me? Like, and I searched every aspect of my life trying to figure out what I did wrong. Why would God take me out? I must have screwed up. And God's punishing me. All these questions. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you've been through that. God told me, no, actually you did a lot right. And this is my work. I didn't believe him. Actually, I just ignored that because it didn't make sense. But the truth is that's exactly what it was. God was taking something. It's a biblical principle. He says, I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. See, God put a dream and a vision in my heart. And I started to live that out. Most of it was I was doing this for God. And I was excited to do it because it was different than anything I'd done before. And you know what? And I think God was well pleased that I was willing to partner with him in this. But he also knew that as long as this remained my thing, it wouldn't really bear any fruit. And so it fell to the ground and died. And that dying process was not a couple weeks. That was 7 years for me. Jesus was 40 days. Moses was 40 years. We don't know the timeline God has for us individually. That's up to him, not us. We don't get to pick it. But once that dies, God will revive it. And it's no longer something you're doing for the Lord. Moses was no longer going to free the Israelites in his strength. When he went back, he didn't even want to go back. I stutter. No one's going to listen to me. You know, he didn't want to go, but he went and he knew it was no longer him. It was all God's. And he even said that. When God said, let me wipe out all my people, I'll start with new. And he says, no, God, these are your people that you chose to take out of Egypt. This is on you. You can't do that. Moses took no responsibility or ownership of it on his own. He knew it was all God's. And that's what the desert does to us. It takes something that we've held on to as ours. It dies. When God revives it, we no longer hold it as though it's ours. It's now God's, and we just have a privilege of partnering with him in it. I guarantee you won't be able to make that change in your heart yourself. That's called self-effort. And that's exactly what God does in the desert is he kills self-effort. And only he does it. Because if you did it, it'd still be self-effort. So it's trusting God. Did you know that it says in Psalm 27, verse 14, it says, wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take courage and wait for the Lord. Do you know it doesn't take much courage or strength to take matters back into your own hands? It takes courage and strength to not take matters into your own hands and wait on God's timing. That's hard. And it's even harder when you're suffering. It's even harder when it feels like everything that you are hoping in and hoping for that God would do isn't happening. Actually, it feels like the complete opposite is happening, and all you got to do is look around to see that it's not getting any better, it's just getting worse. Before the desert season in my life, maybe a month before that, I was driving down the road, and I looked, and there's a license plate. And it says 1 Peter 5:10. And I thought, I don't even know what 1 Peter 5:10 is. It's a really random verse. So I went home and had to look this up. And so I looked it up and I read it at the time and I thought, oh, that's an interesting verse. I'll tell you what, this is the most precious verse in all Scripture to me now. But when I read it, it was really... Oh, okay. So it says, you will have to suffer only a little while. After that, God, who is full of grace, the one who called you to his eternal glory in union with Jesus, will himself, did you catch that? God himself will restore you. He will establish you. He will strengthen you, and he's going to make you firm. That's an amazing promise. It had no importance to me until after I was suffering. And I'll tell you what, there was probably 15 to 20 different times through that 7-year season where the only thing I had was to flip to this verse and I'd read it, and it gave me just enough hope to get through that day. I held on to it because God told me this. And I knew he told me this because it was one of those moments like, just the Lord used that. And I bet he's given you a promise before a hard season in your life. And I heard this in a sermon once at a conference I was at. It's probably the only thing I remember from it. But the guy was talking about when you find yourself in a pit, and he says, you know, you're crying out to the Lord to pull you out of the muck and mire and set you back on that firm ground. He says, don't think that God's just going to come floop and pop you out and you don't have to do anything. He said, here's the deal. He says, God will drop a ladder down in there for you to climb out on. He will help you out. And he says, but here's each rung of that ladder is a promise of God. He says, you climb out of that hole upon God's promises to you. You don't have the experience of it yet. It seems as though it's not true because it's not yet. But God promised it. And he says, I will do this. He did say, after you, everyone in here, I'm going to say this to you, after you've suffered a little while, God himself is going to restore you. That's a promise. Hold on to that. Take another step onto the ladder. Lord, I'm hanging on here. And he'll give you the next promise. He will keep you moving up. Now, I want to go back to, I'm sorry if not all this is fitting together. There's a lot, and I didn't know how it was going to flow. But grieving, grief. We talked about being in the desert. The reality is that though God brings you out of the desert, and it's amazing to leave that dry place, but remember, you're not leaving to go on vacation. You are entering into probably harder things than you've ever done in your life. Get ready to suffer with Jesus if you're coming out of the desert. He says, if you want to do my will and you want to proclaim my name, you will be persecuted. You want to go out and be a big harvester in his fields that are ready right now? You want to go out and take comfort out to those people? You will bless individuals and you're going to be hated by some people. When you choose to not participate in all this crazy wickedness that's swirling right now and you say, no, I'm standing firm, I'm not going down that road, you're a target. You're going to be hated. So I want you to understand, coming out of the desert, there's a reason you were in the desert. These seasons of your past, maybe right now, and the challenges that you've walked through, they're very significant. They are training and preparation for such a time as this right now. This day. These hours that we find ourselves in right now. Now, they're not wasted or meaningless. God has a purpose in it. But we need to grieve and mourn what died. Because things died while you're in the desert. Life as you know it or knew it died. And I'll tell you what, every one of us, our desert looks different. It really does. Because God knows just what had to die in us. And for each one of us, it's different. So I'll have a little handout in the back that you guys can pick up and take home, because today's not a day to sit down and we're not going to go through griefs and sorrows. That's something you need to set aside a day. And you know what? Maybe God will set that day aside for you. My wife said I could share this. This week, Monday, I already was planning on talking about this stuff before that. And then Monday morning, she was just in a really hard spot and just said, I just have so much loss and feel so much grief over, one, 2020, because she loves to go out and be a part of events and different things that happen, and every one of them's been canceled. That sounds simple and like it shouldn't be a big deal, but you know what? It is a big deal. And it's a disappointment when it's not just one thing, but it's been everything. And all those things that you just hope as a mom to get out of the house and have something to do, and they're all canceled. That is hard. It's a small thing, but it's still hard and it hurts. But also, too, of some family members, one that had a stroke and is no longer who she used to be. It's as though she's dead, but she's not. Also, a sister who is off doing her own thing. And in one sense, she's dead. Who, the Gracie we knew is not there. And that hurts. And she was in a hard spot and was crying, and the first thought that went through my head was like, well, I was about to speak this. I was going to say, well, maybe let's plan a day later in the week. I can, you know, move my schedule around later in the week, and you could take a day to do this. And before it came out of my mouth, I heard the Lord say to me, this is not going to work later in the week. This is a right now thing. It's right now. Because the grief is right there. If you wait till 10 o'clock tomorrow, it won't be there. It's there right now. I want you to understand that. When God brings it up, you have a window. You can take it or you don't have to. But it's a window. I would encourage you, get with him. Grieve those losses. On the paper, it gives you some layouts of how to do that, how to press in with him. Grieve those losses. Let him have those losses and ask him what he wants to speak to you and minister to you about. Because God is the God of all comfort. He wants to comfort you. Jesus said, those who mourn shall be comforted. He didn't say, those who don't mourn will be comforted. He said, actually, those who mourn, they shall be comforted. We can take him up on his word. We don't have to. Guys, I encourage you. Do it. It's okay. I had to take a walk out in the woods yesterday because I really stink at doing this. I'm not good at this. I just push down what happens and just keep on going. But I've done that my whole life. And to be honest, God has spent lots of time bringing me back to things to have to grieve them. And it's like, why do I have to deal with this? Because you didn't before. And it's holding you back now. And so, and it doesn't mean you need to go dig it up. I'm going to say this. If God chooses to bring something up, and you, here's a good qualifier. If you start getting really angry about stuff going on, I bet there's something underneath that. Anger is just your way to cover up the fact that actually deep down I'm really grieved and I'm really hurting over something. I mean, right now, I bet all of us in here could say we've been pretty ticked off about a lot of things this year. Let's grieve some of those things. Let's get our hearts cleaned out. Let's be honest with the Lord about how this has affected us and how maybe it's affected our relationship with him this year. I'll tell you one thing that's been hard for me is I feel like God's been silent. I know where he's called me to stand because he told me early on when all this started back in April, he told me right where to stand. And he says, now don't move. Stand firm and do not go along with everything that's going to happen. Just stand firm. That's what I'm telling you. And you know, and by God's grace, somehow I have. But that's another story for another time. But I want to tell you that through all this, God's also been very silent. I haven't heard those simple encouragements, those little times of his compassion and that nearness that just, I can breathe. You feel like you just need to catch your breath? You ever feel like that weight on your chest that just shows up again? Because it's hard just to enter into life these days. That everywhere you go, you might find yourself in the midst of a battle and a challenge. The spiritual atmosphere is charged beyond what you've ever experienced. Who here can say they've experienced that this year? Yeah. And if you haven't, you've probably just been busy enough to not notice it. But I'll tell you, slow down. Slow down a minute. And if you're not sure how to do that, something that helps me sometimes is just to find some good instrumental music that's just, it just helps you just, and just sit with just some instrumental worship music on or something. Not the singing, just the instrument. And just sit and just see how anxious you actually are. See how unrest you actually are. And invite the Lord to minister in those times. So, maybe the Lord is stirring in your heart. There's some things that need to be grieved, some losses that he wants you to name and sit with him. And let him have it, and let him comfort you. There's a sheet I'll have back there you guys can grab. I'd encourage everybody to take it. Maybe it's not what God has for you in this season. Maybe that's something you do on a regular basis, and please teach the others how to do that, because some of us don't know how to do it. But take it anyway, because maybe there's somebody you know that could be helped with that stuff. But I want to say that all of us, God wants to comfort. He wants to encourage us. He wants to meet us where we're at and what he's been taking us through. And I want us to be able to take a few minutes here to break into a group of maybe two or three people, keep it small, and I want you to just share with them very briefly, hey, I've been in a desert season, and I would love a little prayer as to, you know, I need to either, maybe it's continuing to wait patiently for God's timing. Maybe it's, God has actually been leading me out of the desert season, and he's telling me to stand, but boy, oh boy, am I worn out. Am I feeling like I'm struggling to stand? Maybe you know that, you know what, there's been a lot of hardships, and this year's been hard, and honestly, it's like, I just need a time with the Lord. I need a time to be refreshed. Jesus took regular retreats away from everybody. He just up and got out. He didn't even tell people he was leaving. The disciples would wake up and be like, where'd he go? He's gone. He would sneak out because he knew that all the brokenness, the pain, and the grief that he faced every day of the world, and also his own need to be reoriented with the Father, to be reconnected with the Father, was so important. And he got away. And so I want to just open a time where you guys just break into groups, whatever, and just let the Lord lead you in that, on just simply asking, and maybe like, I don't even know what I need. That's all right. Then have people pray about that. God, the Father says he knows what you stand in need of before you even ask him. It's okay if we don't know what we need. And I'll say this too. You're not asking God to come and, oh Lord, stir up all my stuff. No, it's really a prayer of like, Lord, if there's things that I need to grieve, will you do that in the right time? And will you help me to see the opportunity and take it when it comes? Don't go digging stuff up. Don't go trying to fix stuff yourself. Just let the Lord do that. Let him bring it up. I'll tell you, it takes a huge weight off your chest, too, and off your shoulders, and a lot of stress if you stop trying to fix it, make it happen. So I'm going to say this one more time. You'll have to suffer only a little while. After that, God, who is full of grace, the one who called you to his eternal glory in the Messiah, will himself restore, establish, strengthen, and make you firm. And remember, he's doing this because there's a world out there, there's a harvest that God is calling us into. And he says the workers are few. And he says, please pray that God would send more workers. Maybe you prayed a long time ago, Lord, I want to be a worker. Well, then get yourself ready. Put yourself before the Lord to be prepared to go. He will cause you to stand firm. He'll cause you to count the cost and be able to pay it. If you try to count the cost on your own, again, you will utterly fail. You'll be shown that you can't do it, and it'll grieve your heart. You'll feel like you failed as a Christian. No, you didn't. God just showed you that you never could have counted the cost yourself to follow him. It's too much. Jesus is the only one that could ever count the cost in himself and then pay it. And he lives in you to do the same in you. Don't try and make yourself rise to the occasion. Don't be Peter who, Jesus, I will die for you. And then he denies him three times. Jesus knew. No, Peter, in yourself, you can't do it. But you know what? You'll be sifted in that time, and then I'm going to come and restore you, and then you will actually pay the highest cost because I'll do it through you. Let's get over ourselves. Let's let the Lord do the work in us that he wants to do. And let's break into groups right now and pray for God to do that kind of a work. And so if somebody wants to come up and just play quietly, well, we just break into groups and maybe we'll just figure maybe 10 minutes for it. If God really moves in this time, we're not going to put a time limit on it. But that way, you know, we'll just see what God does with us. So, all right.